We're talking about the Rambam Shita. And Baruch Hashem, today we actually have a Rambam so we can see it inside.
This is Kuf Tzadi Vav.
Yes. Regarding the Gzeira D'Rabbanan of not eating meat and milk simultaneously. And there's a contradiction in the Rambam. L'chor. And that revolves around the status of oath. So let me say it outside and then we'll see it inside. The Rambam is going to tell you that if you eat either basar behema or basar oaf, you're going to have to wait 6 hours until you can eat gvina. However, despite that fact, which seems to mean that the Rambam, by separating you from oaf and gvina by 6 hours, when you eat it in that sequence, means that the gzera of not eating something that's both milk and sufflations together applies even to oaf. Yet the Rambam turns around, and when he speaks about the opposite sequence, where you started with gvina and then you ate the fleshiks, the Rambam gets all nervous about basa behema, and he's going to require kinuach and adocha in order to allow you to eat basa behema. But if you want to eat oaf, laissez faire. And that's the Brice of Agra, that Of Nechal Biapikorin, which means that even though you'd have to be mafsik between Gvina in that sequence, Gvina and Basa Behema, you don't have to be mafsik between Gvina and Basa Of. Yet the same Rambam, in the same Halacha, says that if you ate Of, we have to separate the Of from the Gvina that you're going to eat subsequently by waiting 6 hours. You and I would have said, Mimonavshach, what's the status of Oaf? Do we treat Oaf as a Doraisa? But the Rambam happens to paskin, he's committed that Oaf is only Drabbanan. And if you treat it as a Drabbanan, therefore you're lenient and you're going to allow him to eat the Oaf immediately after the Gvina without any Hefsek, without any Hadacha or Kiduach, then why don't you go the other way around and say that when you're eating Oaf first, you don't have to wait 6 hours to eat Gvina? So let's read the Rambam inside, and then I'll show you the text here, how the Rav tries to reconcile this one. So we're opening up to the end of Perek Tes, Me'ilchus Macholas Asuras, and we're looking at Halacha Chavav, and then we'll take a look at Chav Zayin, Chav Ches. I mean, the last three halachas in Perek Tes. Can we close the door? Or?
Yeah, John's coming right back.
Oh, I see. Here's what the Rambam says. Misha ochal gvina. So the question is, does he have to wait? Or in this case, not wait, but he has to do some maisa mafsik to cut off the gvina from the eating of basar. So the Rambam says the following. If he wants to eat meat after the cheese, immediately afterwards, we'll give him the green light. But only on the following condition. V'tzarech she'adiach yadov v'yikaneach piv bein ha'gvina u'bein ha'basar. What does it mean? Yadiach yodav, it means he does netilas yadayim. He washes his hands after he finishes the cheese. What does it mean, v'yikaneach piv? So the Rambam says, b'mei yikaneach piv, v'pas, o b'peros, sheloason. The Rambam asks, after you chew up this piece of bread or these fruits, do you have to swallow them? Ubolam or polton. You have your choice. You can either swallow them or spit them out. The main thing is that it cleans out the residue between your teeth. Ubakol mekan chimasapaya chutz mitmarim o kemach o yurokas she'ein elu mekan chim yofa. If you have substances that are very soft, they won't do the job. You know, you want something that penetrates between the teeth. It's hard. It's tough. Now, please notice that the Rambam is talking about the following case: Ochal Gvina, and he wants to eat basar. What does basar mean? Basar behema. Now, if you have any questions about it, the Rambam spells it out. That's in Halacha Chaf Zayin. V'mei dvar mamurim. When do we require kinuach and adochas yodayim? Kinuach hapeh and adochas. That's only be basar behema chaya. Avolim ochal basar of. Acher shochal agvina o acholo. Eino tzorach lo kinuach hapeh v'lo netils yodayim.
So that's rak the basar.
In other words, the price of agra that you can eat of bach bikorin, that's talking about a case where he ate gvina and now he wants to eat basar off. And in Achinami, the price establishes that he can do so miyad. I don't think that's our meaning. I think our meaning is to require that you clean out your mouth, no? Anyway. He's saying that afikorin, you don't have to do anything. Now, is the Rambam operating with the fact that Oph is the Rabbanon? I don't know.
You talking about Oph first or Gvina?
No, Gvina first. We're going to get to Oph first in the next halacha. Bless you. I mean, one could, intuitively, a knee-jerk response, I would have said the Rambam is, if he's talking about Agra, and Agra is saying you could be making on Oph, he means because Oph is the Rabbanon. And the Rambam does hold that Oph is the Rabbanon.
Or is it that it doesn't leave a residue?
Correct. Although all the Rambam is talking about some sort of mitzius. I don't know.
Why is he worried about Oph is the Rabbanon? What about Basar? Is that the Rabbanon or the Raisa?
Again, what we're saying is that, Yosef, tell me if this is what you're saying, that in a case where he's eating basar. What are you saying, Yosef, actually, now that I think about it? Doesn't make any sense. He's eating gvina first.
Right.
So what difference make what he eats second? I don't care if he's eating an apple second. If there's gvina in his mouth, he's got to clean out his mouth, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's say hygienically, if I would tell you that before you eat anything, the dietitian is going to tell you, clean out the cheese.
So
what difference make what you're eating afterwards? So if the Rambam is differentiating between case A and case B, case A is when you're eating meat after gvina, case B is when you're eating chicken after gvina.
Then
I'm tempted to think that the Rambam is talking about a kula with regard to Oph, and especially in the light of the price of Agra, namely that Oph Nechal Bapikorin, it sounds like you're saying something about the halachic status of eating chicken.
And what is he saying about the halachic status of eating meat?
I don't know. That's a question we'll have to come to grips with. But let's focus for a moment on Oph, because I want to show you a contrast between this halacha and the very next halacha. In the very next halacha, the Rambam says, Misha ochal basar behema, bein basar behema ubein. I'm sorry, let me read it again. Misha ochal basar tchila, bein basar behema, bein basar Oph. Lo yochal achrov cholov ad sheyishe beineim kidei shir suda cheres v'hu kimo sheish shos. The Rambam is outspoken about the fact that if he wants to eat milchiks after chicken, he has to wait 6 hours.
Chicken or basar?
Again, no. I'm sort of, my focus of attention is now on chicken. You follow what I'm doing here, Yosef? I'm trying to show you a contrast between Halacha Chaf Zayin and Halacha Chaf Ches. In Halacha Chaf Zayin, the Rambam says if you ate cheese, you're allowed to eat chicken afterwards. You don't need kinuach hapeh, you don't need hadochas yadayim. Now the Rambam is saying if you ate chicken first, you're not allowed to eat milchiks afterwards until you wait 6 hours. So where does Oph fit into the picture? We're dealing with all sorts of gzeros to Rabbanu. Are we going to be machmir with gzeros to Rabbanu even for Oph or not? The Rambam is saying that if you ate cheese and now you want to introduce a gzera d'rabbanan that requires hadacha and kinuach, What are you eating after the cheese? Asks the Rambam. Rambam throws the ball back into aliquot. What are you eating? If you're eating basa behema, then you better clean out your mouth before you eat the basa behema. You know, rinse out your mouth, get rid of the cheese, and wash your hands and the whole nine yards. But if you want to eat chicken after cheese, go ahead and eat chicken. So sein gesund. I don't need any kinuach ha-paradochus in your diet. You get the impression here, because again, I don't think, Yosef, we can approach that Rambam from the position of, you know, what sticks and what doesn't stick. You know what I mean?
No, it's drabbana.
It must be because Hof is drabbana. But then you read the next halacha with a different gzera, and that's the gzera that requires of a person to set up a suda acheres, which Rambam identifies as kishay shows. And here the Rambam throws Hof together with basa behema, and therefore, if you eat Hof, you want to eat chicken, you got to wait, my friend, for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And here the Rambam is not willing to say, well, Hof is different. Do you follow my point?
Mm-hmm.
So let me read to you what the Rav says about the Rambam. Vinire. Again, you know, I applaud the Rav because he's able to like climb up into conceptual worlds, you know, that, you know, if you're a lambda, the biggest challenge is, especially in a sugya like this one, where there's so much reality, you know what I'm saying, you know, with sticky fingers and meat between your teeth, you know, you're drowning in all these. I mean, you go through this Moreshes Moshe, he's got 10 pages trying to figure out what exactly is kinuach ha-peh, what is hadochas yadayim, and which one has to come first, and which one comes second, and a million different scenarios here. You know, you can go nuts from it. And that's why, I applaud the Rav, that he's capable of just, you know, like the Rav used to say about Yoredeya, that before Reb Chaim, Yoredeya was pots and pans. That's what he used to say. And Reb Chaim revolutionized our whole understanding of Yoredeya. I mean, it's no longer pots and pans, it's all conceptual. So he says the following. Yesh lechalek ben hagzeros hashonos. You have it? Just in case you want to see it inside. Again, this is not the Rav's writing, but Harei in halacha chafches, that was the last halacha that we saw, where he starts by eating meat. The Rambam says that he's not allowed to eat cheese after meat, even if he's only eating chicken. Why is it, according to the Rambam, and the Rambam is outspoken on this point, that we want you to wait to eat cheese after you eat fleshiks? And the Rambam says because of something called basar bein hashinayim. So that even though he cleans out his mouth, there still is some residue of basar bein hashinayim. Vinire, shehaven a Rambam, that if you would eat cheese and you still have basar bein hashinayim in your mouth, iser zeh, who, again, I would skip a few words here just to get to the punchline. You see, bolds it. Chefta di surah. What he means by chefta di surah is that he's eating both basar and gvina together. Why? Because what's left of the basar, again, he finished his suda, but what's left in his mouth? Anybody home? Basar bein hashinayim. So basar bein hashinayim, according to the Rambam, until he waits 6 hours, we'll have to see what happens after he waits 6 hours, but within 6 hours that basar bein hashinayim is real and it's tangible and it has the din of basar.
So is it notable that the way he writes it, the only words that fears he yivu, doesn't work,
right? Because again, this is because of the Rashi business. You remember the Rashi, yeah, says ubali me'adodi, and that was in the Rav's mindset, that was a breakthrough that Rashi wanted to say it's a chefta di surah because bali me'adod, you know.
He's saying the Rambam's not, you don't need that for chefta. You don't need the chewing to make a chefta. You don't need the swallow to make a chefta shami surah. That's what it says here. Because not that yivlu.
I thought the word yivlu means blia. You think it means swallowing?
I thought it was balea. I thought it was being swallowed. That's what I thought.
Well, the word blea has two meanings. Blea could mean... there's something called blea's tongue, right? And then there's blea meaning to swallow something. So if you're learning the third pair of consumers, blea means swallowing.
No, but
if you're learning Yeridea, blea means...
No, yours is right.
An interchange of taste.
Mehadadi, obviously, that doesn't fit what I'm saying.
It's a little tricky, though, because the same word has two meanings.
So they said nagi ubali.
What did he say?
He said nagi ubali. So that's parallel, that what it means is that they're touching and absorbing one from the other.
Right, right. And so I'm just saying that, honestly, he could have skipped these words. He could have just jumped to the last two words that are bolded here, Cheftedi Surah.
Right. Yeah.
Why? Because he's holding on to the meat. He's mamish got the meat in his mouth, if you're worried about Basav Eid Shinayim. And now he's putting cheese into his mouth. He's got meat and cheese in his mouth at the same time. But the Rav wants to point out, because this is the Rav Sheet in interpreting Rashi, and he's sort of like cloning it, grafting it onto the Rambam, that if you have both meat and milk in the mouth at the same time, and you're chewing it, and it makes it into kemach, which is lach, and then you add the saliva and the whole 9 yards of yesterday's discussion, which I don't want to go over again, and the Rambam holds that that's called Nesinas Tam without Bishul, and that's the nature of Basav Chalav D'Rabbanan. Basav Chalav D'Rabbanan, when you're eating both meat and cheese at the same time, is a Cheftedi Surah. It's blia, and it's Nesinas Tam. You're only missing one technicality.
Bishul.
And that's why I keep giving you. I'm like a meshugel davrech. I keep bringing you the same example about chaliva on Shabbos. You know, chaliva on Shabbos is a ma'aseh mefarik. But the only problem is we have a technicality. The Torah says that the malacha mefarik is one of the sidur de pas, which refers to gedule karka. And you know, like for example, there's a whole issue about heating up, you know, metal, you know, sometimes wood or something, you know, where you heat it up in a fire, whether you chai for bishul on that. Why? Because it's not a foodstuff, it's not an edible. So, you know, or tzvia, right? Malacha tzovea, you know, is there tzvia in foodstuff? There, perhaps, everything but foodstuff. And in the case of bishul, maybe only foodstuff, you know, nothing else. It's not, you know, there are all sorts of technical rules that apply to malachas. A lot of it depends on mishkan. And one of those technical rules is that ein mefarik el begdulei kak, ein dish el begdulei kak. So I say, when the Rabbanim said that you're not allowed to milk a cow on Shabbos, that's not a gzera that tomorrow you're gonna climb up to the date tree and start breaking the dates off their klipos, you know, do a real mefarik. I don't think that's what's going on over here. What the Rabbanim are doing is they're overlooking a certain technicality and they're expanding the malacha of mefarik. And as I told you over and over again, Rabbi Kivagin wants to say that a person who's a mumer for Durabbanans is a mumer l'kol haTorah kula midurabbanan, because he's being mechal Shabbos, but on one condition, that he's a mumer l'malacha Durabbanan. As I state in Rabbi Kivagin, malacha Durabbanan. What I'm saying here is that this is basa b'chol of Durabbanan. He's mamish violating basa b'chol. And why? Why is it a chefetz of basa b'chol? There was no bishul. The answer is you're accomplishing the exact same goal as bishul, minus one technicality, and that's the mice of bishul. You know, you put two things, milk and meat, over the fire. You know, with the fire underneath. Here, you're lacking the fire, but it's the sinas tam. I gave you other examples, kavush and tigun and ma'ushan, and I don't know how many different examples are on the list. All different kinds of the sinas tam without bishul. And it could be that if you were not a kfela, and I would give you two substances on the table to taste, one was cooked and the other was kavush, or I don't know, one of the others, you might not even know the difference. Again, I can't give it to you because, you know, chas v'shalom, you would be eating basa b'chol. But if I could give it to a dog or give it to a guy who's not awesome at basa b'chol, he might tell you they taste the same. Yeah, what do you mean it's a cheeseburger? This is a cheeseburger? You didn't cook it in the oven. The answer is I did something instead of cooking it. I fried it. Well, it's a fried cheeseburger. You know, he might not know the difference. So why is one awesome in the raisa and the other is not? And the answer is the Rabbanan came along and you follow my point. I don't have to... So that's what the Rav calls Yehafech Lecheftedi Surah. But that's again a case. What did he eat first, Rabosai? The fleshiks or the milchiks? What did he eat first? No, you're not with me, Rambosa. We're talking about halacha chav ches, he ate flasics.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Do you follow me? Because what is the Rambam's pet peeve over here? What bothers the Rambam? What bothers the Rambam is you ate flasics, now you have basar in your mouth.
Okay.
It's basar ben hashinayim. If that's a chefti di surah, Rav Soloveitchik says, may I time a gozru chazal lesser af gvina achar ha'ov. I don't care whether you ate meat first or whether you ate chicken first. In both cases, you got basar ben hashinayim, and now you're eating a chefta basar b'chov. Again, it's a double whammy over here. Do you follow? It's tarte l'reusa, because it's a chefta basar b'chov when it's only ov, and then you have to add to boot that he's got basar ben hashinayim. But the overall picture, according to the Rambam, is that you have a chefta basar b'chov bin rabbana. I don't care if it's oaf, and I don't care if it's basar ben hashinayim, but it's a real drabbanan here. A real drabbanan meaning it's elevated to the status of basar b'cholav. That's halacha chav ches. So if he starts with chicken, he's got chicken particles between his teeth, he's now eating cheese, that's a no-no. That's a chefta d'isura, that's basar b'cholav. But now let's talk about the reverse situation. He started with cheese. And the Rambam says that if he starts with cheese, then he's not allowed to eat basar. And then the Rambam says, "Bamed var amurim basar." But then he says, "Aval achal of." That's the price of agra. And eino tzarich, he can eat the of immediately after the cheese. Immediately after the cheese, Rabbo said, it's the Rambam Shita. I mean, we're not familiar with this minhag, but the Rambam says you don't have to clean out your mouth, you don't have to clean your hands, you can be a grubby yugaman, just eat the chicken after the gvina. It's almost like he's putting both cheese and chicken into his mouth at the same time. So the Rav says there's only one difference. Here there's no basar ben hashinayim. Why? Because he started with what?
Gvina.
With gvina. Oh, avol ha iser lecho basrach ha gvina. If he eats it without cleaning out his mouth, eino el archaka bialma. Here you can't talk about basar ben hashinayim because he's eating cheese. Okay, there's some sort of a taste of cheese in his mouth, and therefore the rabbanon are going to say, you know what? We have to be marchik you from this, but that's not real basar b'chala. And here's where the Rambam is going to step up to the plate and distinguish between basar behema and basar ov. Because when you're talking about harchakos, then you have to make a harchaka, you are allowed to make a harchaka only if you're dealing with basar behema, which is a doraisa. But to make a harchaka onto a basar ov. So what's going on over here? He's going to eat cheese. He has some sort of episkiblibin, some sort of shirayim of a taste of cheese in his mouth. It's not called gvina ben hashinayim, but there is something there. And now he's going to eat chicken. So what are we afraid of? Ah, tomorrow he's going to eat chicken together with cheese. Well, guess what? That itself is only a drabbanan. Again, that might be a drabbanan that's elevated to the level of a chefta of basar b'chala, because if he started with chicken and he's got basar ben hashinayim, now he's eating cheese, that's going to be a problem. But if you're talking about archaka, then maybe tomorrow he'll eat the cheese with the chicken, that's already too far. That's already outside the pale of gzeiras chacham. So let me read the last line again. He says, aval im ha isur lechol basach gvina below kinuach v'adocha eino el harchaka. He says that, you know, we're not dealing with basar ben hashinayim anymore. You're dealing with some sort of ephemeral, you know, some sort of ambiguous kind of taste of gvina. That's already a harchaka. That's not really a chefta of basar b'chol. What's left in his mouth is not something tangible. You know, he may have a shirayim of a leftover taste. What do they call it after someone wakes up when he was drunk? What's it called?
A hangover.
He has a hangover of gvina in his mouth. But that's not a chefta basar b'chalav. That's kind of like a hangover. He's got a headache. He's got some sort of a connection to the gvina. So here we made our chaka if he's going to eat basar. But if he doesn't want to eat basar, he wants to eat ov, here the Rabbanon are not going to institute a harchak. I'm fascinated by the fact, as I told you before, that you know he sort of climbs up into the you know the conceptual worlds here, and he's operating with definitions. You know, it's a whole different approach.
And I remember when I was learning school, that they talked about also about pihuk and stuff like that about burping up the.
Oh, so that's Rashi Shita. Rashi Shita is that you can't eat gvina after basar, not because of basar ben shinai. Rashi's not worried about basar ben shinai. Rashi's worried about, let's read the language of Rashi. Can I borrow your Gemara for a second? Or I'll just open this one here. Just hold this. No, oh, you still owe me something from Bab Metzia. I forgot all about it. Okay. So let me read to you the Rashi. I think, Alan, everything that you've heard in the past or learned in the past is all based on this Rashi. Again, the Rishonim and the Achronim took Rashi very far, but the original is this line in Rashi. Rashi says on Daf Kuf Hey Amud Aleph, when Rav Chisda says Ochal Basar Osur Lechol Gvina, here's where the Rambam introduces Basar Ben Shinayim. The Rashi has a whole different tune. Rashi says Basar lechol gvina mishum de basar. Rashi's talking again. This is not my chiddush, but not the Rav either, but the Prima Gadim and all the other mafarshim. Rashi's talking about basar that's in your belly. You know, it went down the esophagus and you're digesting it. Rashi says basar motzi shuman umarech b'taimo. Now again, there are a lot of words in this Rashi. Rashi's unusually verbose. And not only that, I'll tell you a secret. Some of the Achronim want to take out words from this Rashi. I don't know how you have the chutzpah to do that, but because Rashi in the middle here says that basar is nidbak b'peh. I mean, that sounds a lot more like the Rambam Shita, that there are particles of basar that are trapped inside his mouth. And as I told you, I think it's the Shach himself takes out these words from Rashi. But if you take the beginning of Rashi and the end of the Rashi and you integrate them to form one whole, Rashi is saying that the basar during the digestive process is motzi shuman umarech b'taimo. So it's like he still in some sense has the tam of basar in his mouth. How long does it take until finally the digestive process completes itself? That's called the sudach rita. We'll call it 6 hours, whatever it might be. And then it's no longer motzi shuman b'piv umarech b'taim.
Well, that's because of that shita that they make a distinction between the types of cheeses too, hard cheese.
Correct. It could very well be that according to Rashi, if you have a hard cheese that takes a long time to digest, you might be prohibited from eating meat after the hard cheese. You know, like Swiss cheese or something like that. But I want to ask you a different question. This is fascinating. A mother is chewing meat and not swallowing it. She's feeding it to her child. You know, the child he doesn't have enough teeth to chew up the meat. Does she have to wait 6 hours? And the Prima Gadim says that according to Rashi, she doesn't have to wait. Why? Because Rashi's not worried about basar ben shinayim. The Rambam would say you have to. And Rashi would say as long as you're not swallowing it, you're not involved in this ongoing, continuous digestive process that's motzi shuman umarech b'taima.
But Rashi would require...
Now, I'm not posking for you, but it's interesting.
She had to wash out her mouth, though.
I don't think so. I'll tell you why. Because Rashi... Oh... you're saying...
Because
I don't know. Don't ask me that question. That's one of those million-dollar questions. You have to know everything to know anything. But let me ask you a question. Let's assume, according to Rashi, I don't have to wait 6 hours. Why? Because I didn't swallow the meat. Would you be willing to paskin... I'm asking you a theoretical question. Right? Don't get nervous. Would you be willing to paskin that let's rely on Rashi and allow... Let's say in the case of a mother, allow her to eat chicken, I'm sorry, to eat gvina, to cheese, without waiting 6 hours. Why? Because according to Rashi, there's no reason to wait 6 hours.
What are you doing first? What are you doing?
No, I'm just saying, the Rambam would definitely aser it. Why? Because basar ben shinayim is irrelevant to whether you swallow the meat. If you're chewing the meat, it's basar ben shinayim.
Right.
Gotta wait 6 hours.
Right.
Can't eat cheese within that 6 hours. Rashi would say it's mutter, as I state in the Prima Gadim. The Rashi would be matter because he didn't swallow the meat. Would you be willing to paskin like Rashi against the Rambam? I'm not asking you who's your favorite Rishon.
No, but there's
what am I asking? What kind of a suffix do you have?
Yes, I understand.
Just add one word, just so I know that we're on the same page. What kind of a suffix do you have?
Does have a suffix derisa to Rambam?
Which one?
Well, what you're talking about, we didn't swallow it. Was she just chewing it up?
Yeah. She's chewing it. She spits it out. And now she wants the gvina.
Yeah, but that's
without waiting 6 hours. See, is that a something to rice or something to rabban?
So the question I have.
I don't know why you hesitate.
No, but I'm hesitating because
what? It's something to rabban. There's no to rice. Even the Rambam is not accusing her of violating an issa to rice. So I would have said in this case, I'm willing to rely on Rashi, not because I think Rashi had a nicer beard than the Rambam, but because I hold that something to rabban with kula.
Yeah, but
so the Prima Gadim says men. It's a Dorish Yeshlo Matiri. Why? Because you can wait 6 hours
and then you have no problem.
I thought this was a galach. Yeah, I didn't think he was serious about it.
Why is that means Rashi rejects it entirely about the Basar Ben and Shinayim?
Oh, so that's another issue. The premise is that if Rashi didn't mention Basar Ben and Shinayim, then he didn't worry about Basar Ben and Shinayim. So the Achronim say that according to Rashi, and again, Rashi is not a Mekil. I mean, again, in this case, he's a Mekil because she didn't swallow the meat. But let's say, for example, you would cook pasta with meat, and then you pick out the pieces of the pasta, maybe you rinse them out in cold water, whatever you do, in such a way that you guarantee me that you didn't eat meat. And the poskim say that Rashi would be machbi. You have to wait 6 hours. The Rambam has no problem with this. Why? Because there's no basar ben shinayim. You're only eating the pasta. But Rashi would admit or hold, maintain that since your pasta is saturated with the taste of meat, you got to wait 6 hours. It's motzi shuma u'marach b'tayfa. So I'm just pointing out. No, why am I saying this to you? Because I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that Rashi is a gavaldik mekil. I wanted to say something to Rabbanu Lakula to rely on Rashi in a case where you chewed it and didn't swallow it.
Yeah.
Rashi Enochinami is a makehill in that case, but I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that Rashi is a makehill. Rashi has a different shita, and as a result of the shita Rashi, you'll have kulas and you'll have chumras. In certain cases, Rashi will say, "Well, you didn't swallow it, and therefore we're not worried about the marach betamo." And in other cases, Rashi is going to say, "Well, even though you don't have basar ben shinayim, but nevertheless, you still have a tam of bus."
So does Rashi give the only example? The only example he gives is when the mother is chewing it for the baby.
No. That's not Rashi. This is much later than Rashi. This is like 7 centuries after Rashi. Okay. You know, again, what the Achronim did was they took Rashi, who doesn't mention a word about basar ben shinayim, and instead Rashi substitutes a whole different philosophy as to why we want you to wait another six hours. And they took the Rambam, who mentions basar ben shinayim but mentions nothing about marach b'taimo, and the Achronim made a whole sugya out of this. You know, it's like a dover over lasocher. You know, say they had a blast over here because they assume that Rashi is not worried about basar ben shinayim; he's worried about marach b'taimo because Rashi doesn't say a word about basar ben shinayim. And they assume that the Rambam is not worried about Ma'arif B'taimo and the Shuman and the digestive, this, that, and the other thing. And he's only worried about Basar Ben Shinayim. And then the Achronim go to town, they have a blast, giving 5 different scenarios in which Rashi would say this and the Rambam would say that. And they want to know how we paskin halacha l'maaseh. So some very smart kluge yid by the name of the Yad Mordechai, he wants to say, something to Rabbanu Lakula. In every case, I'll decide who I want to paskin like. You have 5 different scenarios. In each case, I'll either go like the Rambam Lakula or like Rashi Lakula, because something to Rabbanu Lakula. And then the Achronim say, but it's a Dovah Sheish Lomatiri. Other Achronim want to suggest that maybe Rashi's right and the Rambam is right. They're both right. You have to worry both about Basar Ben Shinayim and about the Tam is Marach B'Taimo.
If the guy has no teeth, all he has is choppers, he takes the power.
What do you mean he has no teeth? He has dentures?
Yeah, he has dentures. He has
Baruch Hashem, he has dentures.
He takes the dentures out after he eats meat.
Right.
Right? Now he wants to eat cheese.
According to the Rambam, there's no problem. According to Rashi, he's got a serious problem.
That's right. Or maybe, better yet, he's smart enough to have two sets of teeth.
Right. Yeah. I assume there are some Hasidim who probably I know my Shver has dentures. He Erev Pesach, it's like wild. He puts his dentures into boiling hot water for Hagolah, and he doesn't want to have any chomet sticker problems. You know what I'm saying?
I always wondered whether.
And when I always ask him for why he does it, he starts mumbling. I say, Shmer, I can't hear you. Oh, let me put back my dentures. You know, then you'll hear me.
But I've always wondered what these people there are, those about here, that when they brush their teeth after, say, between the other thing, they use a separate milking toothbrush and a flaking toothbrush.
All right, but the idea of brushing your teeth after cheese, if you want to eat meat, that's a serious business. That's not some sort of chassidish or chumra.
No.
In fact, the Rambam says that only applies if you can eat meat. It doesn't apply if you eat oaf. But
according to Rashi, it's self-garnished. What does it mean to brush your teeth? You still
No, because we don't find Rashi saying about milchiks that it's my rapid time. Now, if you ask me about Swiss cheese that's processed for 6 months, then it's a different channel. But if I'm eating cream cheese or cottage cheese, then I don't have to. I don't have to worry about Marath Bitaimu. I do have to worry about having cheese in my mouth, and for that I would definitely encourage you to brush your teeth. Now the Rama has a kula that if you're interested in eating chicken afterwards, you don't even have to bother brushing your teeth. That's the Rambam's this. And that's what the Rambam is trying to explain, because here we're not talking about physical, the physical, existence of both Basar and Chol. We're talking about some sort of a Tam of Gvina, and if you're eating Oaf, that's our Chokka, which doesn't apply to Oaf. That was the Rambam's Shtikl Torah.
Is there anything?
Now, in the next paragraph, I just want to point out, how are we doing on the clock? Oh, so we have time for another paragraph here. The Gemara says, on Daf Kuf Hey, that you have to wait before you eat milchiks, right? Mar Ukva says about his father that he waited for 24 hours after he ate fleishiks before he ate milchiks.
He never ate milchiks.
Now, I'm not saying he didn't eat milchiks, but probably on 24 hours. Well, again, if he ate fleishiks in the middle of the day, then his lunch the next day will be milchiks, and he waited 24 hours meisleis. That's okay, and then later on that night he'll eat fleishiks, and he won't be able to eat milchiks on for lunch the following day. He'll have to wait to eat milchiks at night, so he'll have to eat parva for lunch. But Maruk himself says, "I'm like chometz, I'm like vinegar compared to my father's wine, and I only wait for a sudach rita." The Rambam identifies that as kamoshe shos. Now, what the Rambam means by Kamoshe Shos, I'm not sure. There are like 50 different sheetahs here. Does the Rambam mean 5.59 minutes? Or does the Rambam mean 5 minutes, 5 hours, 59 minutes? Or does the Rambam mean 5 hours in 1 minute, 5 hours in 10 minutes, 5 hours in 20 minutes? So my father was of the opinion, I don't remember where he had this minig, maybe it was his father's minig, I don't know, that you wait into the sixth hour, but you have to wait 20 minutes into the sixth hour. Some say you have to wait 5.5 hours, I don't know. But anyway, if you leave out the Chof Hadivya, the Rambam says you have to wait 6 hours. However, Tosus has a different shita. Let's take a look at Tosus. Tosus says, L'sudach rita, Lav b'sudas asher regilim lasos. Don't start calculating hours. The Rambam is calculating hours. You ate breakfast at 11 o'clock. You had a late breakfast, and you ate supper early in a winter day. 6 hours later, so you ate 6 hours. So Tosa says, maybe that should depend in each case. How many sudas does today? People eat 3 sudas a day. We live in an affluent society. Back in the day, they ate only 2 sudas in a day. So maybe we don't even wait 6 hours between one suda and another. Maybe we eat breakfast at 8 in the morning, and we eat lunch at 12 noon. That's only 4 hours. So Tosfos doesn't buy into this whole thing that you wait how many hours. It's amazing to me. You wake up a Jew and tell him that Tosfos doesn't know anything about waiting 6 hours. He looks at you like you fell off the moon. Lasos achas shachris viachas arvis ella afilialt. So you can eat milchiks right after fleishiks, li'alta. But in one condition, you need silukas shulchan and birkas hamos. Silukas shulchan, birkas hamos. It sounds like we're learning Arvei Pesachim over here.
It's not very much.
And Arvei Pesachim is the real sugi of brachos, and I mean, it's seven, the six pack of brachos, but also in Arvei Pesachim. So you need silukas shulchan and birkas hamos. So the Rav Zichron of Vracha says that here, in order to understand Tosfos, you have to climb up into the conceptual world. So you can't understand Tosfos on a level of Metzius. You know, nothing changes when you take out the Shulchan or you bench Birkas HaMazon. So the Rav says, Aval Tosfos Kosvu Sheim Silek HaShulchan Birkas Birkas HaMutal Lechol Gvin HaFili Alta Dekinuah Vadocha. And again, to go with the other approach, which means that we start calculating how much time do I usually wait between one suit and the other, that's already a low plug rabbana. That's called nitnu, lo nitnu dvarecha l'shirim, that everybody's going to decide for himself what's considered for his lifestyle, for his menagim, what's considered suda achrita. That he doesn't, Tosfos unwilling to buy into that. Then he tells you, look in the Ramah. Well, the Ramah says, wait an hour. Some people wait 3 hours. You know, Tosfos basically says, eat the cheese immediately. Just do your siluk hashulchan and birkas hamos v'nira. Shatosfos v'aramam azli l'shitoso. Tosfos over him, hoil v'isur lechol gvina achar boser eni ol harchaka bi'alma. He calls it an Isa Gavra. Mishum Hachi Sagi Bafsoka Al Pi Din. This is not a real afsoka in terms of, you know, changing your mouth from fleshiks to milchiks. There's no afsoka over here. You're just taking out the shulchan. It's afsoka al pi din. No, it's the whole nature of this archaka. So the archaka was that you're busy eating milchiks and fleshiks, you're confusing the two. We're gonna say it's gotta be two separate meals. What makes it into two separate meals? Siluk HaShulchan, Birkas HaMazon, two separate meals. That already gives you, accomplishes your goal of separating the Basar and the Gvina. Amal Ramam Sofer, no. We're not talking about some sort of a Isur Gavra of our Chokka B'Alma. We're talking about a Chefetz of Isur. He's got Basar in his mouth, and now he has Gvina in his mouth. He's got Basar Ben Hashinayim. And that's going to persist for 6 full hours. So in such a case, the Rambam says it's not enough to have a avsoka al pi din. It's not enough to say, well, I'm eating my gvina in a different suda than I ate before my sudas basar. No. You're eating gvina together with basar in the same mouth, because that's called basar ben hashinayim. What do? You have to wait 6 hours. Tosfos on the other hand understands that the whole business here of eating gvina after basar is a matter of a harchaka, and therefore the harchaka requires some sort of mental or legal conceptual afsaka, which is called suda l'suda. What sets up a new suda? Birkas hamazon, etc. By the way, I saw something in the poskim that fascinated me. The poskim say, let's say I ate meat and now I want to eat cheese. According to Tosfos, I'm allowed to eat cheese, correct? Why? Because I'm going to bench. Nay, it means you have to be serious about creating a Gemar Suda and a Tchila Suda. I don't know what exactly demonstrates that he's really serious about it. Maybe he has to walk around the block. I don't know exactly what he has to do in order to demonstrate, or maybe it's just a mental decision in his mind that this Suda is over. I'm not just artificially benching in order to eat cheese. You know, like in Lubavitch, they say, we eat before davening. I mean, whatever they allow, I don't know. I'm not exactly. I am a Lubavitcher, but I don't know any of the minhagim of Lubavitch. But we eat before we daven. Why? Because I want you to daven. I want you to eat in order to daven, and not daven in order to eat. So this would be a case where, according to these poskim, he's benching in order to eat cheese.
Yeah, but there's also siluk hashulchan, which in our time would probably mean you have to reset the table, not just.
All right, maybe that would indicate a real serious gemara suda. I don't know. Let's say you were eating alone, and you decided, you know, you have a cheshek for cheese. You're eating a fleshek of meal. So what are you going to do? You're going to quickly change the tablecloth and bench. So some of the poskim are not happy about that, even according to Tosus, because that's just a fake ride. That's really the same suda. Yeah, you have to really be serious about ending the suda. Now what that means, I don't know. You know exactly.
Did you ever hear the Rav say how long you should wait afterwards? How long, Lizbana said, how long you should wait for between?
I never heard anything, but I heard in the name of Rav Guzman that he said that if the chef or the staff in the Chadar Ochel of some sort of institution like yeshiva would decide that now it's time to eat milchiks, you could eat milchiks. You don't have to wait 6 hours.
Yeah, I heard. I can't remember now.
That's already suda akrita, because there you're totally vidas acherim. They're going to tell you when the suda akrita is.
Why are you not worried about
that? I don't know how far you would go with that.
I can't remember now. It's too long ago. Whether I actually heard the Rav pass to say it, or whether one of his most boys said it in his name. But he said there's so many shitas and how long you have to wait. There's no reason to pick the chumrah. And you can just make the cool, but if you were already doing it, you can't change. But when your kids,
because then it becomes
the
kids, like a measure of something,
you can change their
name. Why do we only have Bria in the stomach, only in the mouth?
So again, for that, you have to know more about the Sugya Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan of Hanos Meo versus Hanos Grono. In other words, when the Torah says you're not allowed to eat something, is the Torah talking about that which goes into your mouth? Is it talking about that which goes down your esophagus? Is it talking about that which is in your belly? All the issues, for example, about intravenous feeding and all that, you know, what do they call those things that they put into your stomach? What's that called?
That's a peg. Yeah.
A peg, it's called, all those things.
But
yeah,
it's going into your stomach, it's just not going past the gonorrhea.
Right, so am I allowed to, I'm not talking about doraisis here, but because it's probably shalom kadaka, but let's say on a drabana level, can I feed non-kosher food through a peg? Do I have to blink about that, or it's certainly mutter? You know, that would depend upon whether achila is the...
Are there any shittas at all? You have to wait the amount of time it takes for the digestive process to get it out of your stomach before you have the...
I just know that Rashi holds that it takes 6 hours till it's digested. You know,
so is that what...
But I don't know, you know, if there are other shittas other than Rashi.
Then you have a problem with the cheese first and basar after, because it's still in the same stomach.
Ah, yeah, you're right. What difference to make? What the sequence is?
Yeah.
Rabbi Osei, does anybody have something that could help me? I have to schlep all these books, and I don't have my briefcase here. How do I do that? I have this little bag, but it's not going
to. Yeah, where do you need to go?
I have to get to my parking lot. It's right here in.